Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Nijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. God, we're back for our first bonus episode with UK content.
Absolutely. We have to, because if they're just going to keep giving us multiple seasons at once, we got to keep talking about them. And we got to split it up a little bit because we love to talk.
Can't stop talking. Can't stop listening to myself. Just like brain, you know, vomit in audio form. but on the real, I have to say that I had no idea that when we did our Whispering Hunty Wednesday this week, we were sitting on the precipice of one of the most insane days in American history.
Yep.
Besides, I would say 9/11. I think that was like the level of hysteria of what was going on. Like I couldn't move.
Yeah, this is in the top five of historical moments that have occurred in Washington, D.C. I mean, the Capitol building hasn't been stormed, I mean, two times that I've been hearing about, 1812, and the War of 1812 is invaded. And there were Puerto Rican terrorists in the 1950s who stormed it and, like, left some bullet scars and everything. But nothing like what has happened today, or yesterday. As of recording, this was yesterday. Feel free to edit this to make it sound cleaner. But, yeah, this is incredibly historic and very disappointing and insane that it even happened.
Yeah. You know, and I kind of think about the journey that we've gone through on this podcast in terms of like traveling, you know, seemingly around the world, you know, talking to my friends in Ireland, in Holland, and hopefully more countries as we continue. And I think that when I think about what it's been like to experience a little bit of their world. You know, I do think it's important that we just share that, you know, as queer people living in America, the past couple years have been very hard because we've had this kind of feeling like the government's in danger of falling apart. Because, or the government's in danger of really turning its back on us. And and to see that happen, you know, in real time against the leaders of our country, because we have more than one leader. America's a very strange experiment in terms of how to rule a country. But for all intents and purposes, the leaders of our country are Congress, because they are the regional representatives of people who come together to talk about things that affect all of us all over the country. We have the president and all of those things, but the leaders of our country, you know, are also, you know, the Speaker of the House, the Speaker, you know, the Senate Majority Leader, you know, the Chief Whip.
Yeah.
These people are the leaders of our country. If you were to destroy Congress, America itself could not function. So, you know, not only have we been stressed out about whether or not, because of the way that the country's been leaning, are our rights going to be taken away? Literally, the leaders of our country yesterday were in danger. And it's a scary place to be. You wouldn't think that this would happen in America. And we saw that from, like, the way that the rest of the world has been saying, oh, this is such a tragedy. Yeah. I can't believe this happened in America. Yeah. Please respect democracy, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, whatever happens, you know, whether or not there's Article 25 or there's an impeachment, you know, we're kind of at a an inflection point of sorts. And You know, I don't always talk about this, but like I moved here when I was 14, and the country that I was living in had gone from a kind of America in Africa. We were the second richest country in the region. We were referred to as the breadbasket. We were a shining example of democracy in a struggling region. You know, there was South Africa was going through apartheid, talk about white supremacy. Yeah. When I was a little kid growing up in Zimbabwe in a, you know, really cute kind of like townhouse suburban neighborhood or whatever. And within, you know, from the time I was little to the time I was 14, we went through an economic downturn. We went from having progressive spaces to it being heavily policed. We went from, you know, a regular newspaper to the front page being someone's face sliced up with a machete, from riotous people taking over farms and like holding people hostage.
Oh my God.
You know, this kind of like lawlessness is very dangerous.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And, you know, and then of course, by being a person of, you know, by accident of birth, because like you can be born in any circumstance, but, you know, obviously my family must have been better off because I left. I was able to leave. It was a choice to stay there. And then I came to America, a country that I held citizenship of, but didn't really live in full time. And, you know, and I think we were just talking about this. In times like this, we kind of think like, oh, wouldn't it just be great to leave, right?
Right.
How do we escape America?
Yeah, because there's like, I don't know, there's just, there's this like detachment of how Americans feel about our own country. Because, and you hear it in the news cycle after everything that's been happening yesterday of like, oh my gosh, this is like the kind of thing you happen to expect in some other country that has instability.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
You know, so that's what's happening.
I know. And I think that... I think that over the past 4 years, there's kind of been this this move to kind of draw a line in the sand. A lot of people have said things like, you know, if people can't, if they get into a fight with someone over Black Lives Matter, they're like, okay, they're dead to me. I'm never talking to them again. And I think that, unfortunately, you know, I don't think that's the answer anymore, because we're kind of like getting to a space where we talk at each other, and then when we disagree, we cut ties with people for good, and then they go to, you know, their separate social media bubbles, and then they believe whatever is the dominant story within them.
Right.
And I don't want to come at anyone and say that you're crazy. I'm just going to say that there's a lot of versions of reality that people are subscribing to.
Yeah.
And the only way that we're going to get to the other side is if we actually start to do the hard work. And we've seen that happen in Georgia. We've seen that when you actually go out and talk to people, you'll either change someone's mind or you'll find a level of relatability that makes them really rethink what's going on and how to take action to make sure that we don't do the same thing that's been happening. Like to see Johnoff, who's run for Senate before, overcome this, you know, this past election, a runoff to win a Democratic seat in Georgia. And then to see Raphael Warnock win after the year.
Black senator from Georgia, the first Black senator from any Southern state in that region of the South. I mean, it's full circle, and all at the same time, very, very sad that it ever took this long. And the Southern states aren't red states,
or just there's, I don't think there's such a thing as red states and blue states. There are people all over America, and I think there are people all over the world. And you know, I phone banked for the first time in my life for a political cause. This past election cycle. And, you know, I just think it's like, I just think that no matter where you live, whether it be in America or elsewhere, I think that what happened yesterday is a very big wake-up call for anyone that cares about how this world is going to move forward. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do some hard work to speak to our fellow citizens, mm-hmm. To speak to our fellow human beings, and to help us find common ground for peace and for, like, rule of law and government that actually works. So, I mean, we're not a straight up political podcast, but I think that in the light of what happened yesterday, it was just it just felt important for us to at least process what is happening in mm-hmm. the world right now, because
it's history in the making.
It's history, in real time.
Yeah, I'm sick of living through historical events.
I want to live during a really mundane time where nothing important happened and like 500 babies were born. So anyway, so we're going to share with you a little tidbit from GJ Coyman, because you know what, actually, the reason why we really have to release this episode is that our really good friend of the pod, Nutella Versace, we were texting yesterday, and she was like, it was so good to listen to you guys after yesterday. And I think that this podcast has been one of the spaces where I create joy for myself multiple times a week. I make new friends. I joke, I laugh, I converse, and I socialize during a time that is very isolating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you've been with us from the beginning or you're just getting to know us, you know, I hope that we can be that space for people. Like, come laugh with us, kiki, and take a break from the world, but let's also remember to do the hard work to, you know, save the world.
Because this virus attacks the lungs,
it's never more infuriating when you realize that your life has a price tag on it.
The truth of the matter is, we are in the middle of an apocalypse.
There's no leadership.
I went from being an ER nurse to you're a healthcare hero. I feel like a sham.
Apocalypse Now is a podcast that asks if we are living at the beginning of the end. I'm Joanna Van Fine. Join me every week as I talk with interesting people and decide if we're all doomed. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of overcoming your Effie, your inner Effie, what would you say would be like your COVID wisdom? Like, what have you learned from this time?
What I've really learned is that I miss the spontaneous moments in life. Everything is planned. So, you know, I miss being tempted by my friends to go out on a Wednesday when I have work in the morning, or to randomly run into this person you haven't seen in a while. And that gives you inspiration of how they're doing, what they're up to. Mm. Every connection now is planned or premeditated, where you're like, oh, I'm going to send this person a message to see how they're doing. You no longer have these random bump-ins where you're like, oh, I haven't seen her in a while. How's she doing? Yeah. And, oh my God, I'm hearing she's doing great. We should catch up for drinks. Or I haven't heard this song in a while. I'm going to go see a movie that I don't know about yet. I miss the spontaneity in life. And but then on the other hand, it's also good to realize that I really thrive on just sitting at home and doing nothing sometimes, and that's also okay.
Oh, I'm right there with you. My roommate and my fiance both have told me before, hey, do you want to like go take a walk or anything, or like, you know, just get out of the house? Because I will for 2-3 days not even leave. And I'm like, I'm very cautious about COVID anyway, but I truly will. I have fallen into being so comfortable at home to just being like, oh, I have so much to do here. Why go out even, you know? So I completely understand that.
I have not posted this reel yet, but I definitely have realized that, like, I'm fine being by my damn self.
Yeah.
And I love people and they're great, I love you. This has been lovely. Mm-hmm. But they're also wonderful, like, whole hours of time where I'm, like, by myself, sitting around in my own thoughts. And it's not a scary place. It's actually a lovely place. And I don't want to lose that when this is over.
Oh, right.
I think that's once this, you know, the world opens back up, we're going to have this first discussion in every interaction that we have about what are our boundaries about saying hello mm-hmm. to someone. Is it a handshake, a kiss, or whatever? Because we're not mm-hmm, doing yeah. any of it now. Mm-hmm. So all the social constructs of, oh, you have to hug someone and give in the Dutch we always do is we give three kisses when we say hello. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that anymore.
Right, right.
And we're going to go to those boundaries. But then it's also with personal boundaries. Like, I'm very comfortable. I don't need to be socially pressured into doing anything. I'm very okay with saying no, or I'm not responding to text messages tonight, or I'm not. It's my time. I'm deciding.
I think that we are not going to have a choice that social life and normal life, quote unquote, I mean, the old normal is completely dead. We'll never return to that.
So even before this, I was a very big proponent of like a maintain Monday or like a maintain blah, blah, blah day, where literally like I dropped all other commitments in my life and I just focused on me. And I feel like that's something that like people will want to do. They'll be like, oh, no, I need to do like a COVID day where like, you know, I just close off from the world. Mm-hmm. But I think that the new thing, you know, we're going to be asking people's pronouns, but we're also going to be asking people's like, you know, what are you comfortable with? You know, like demasking.
Do you hug? Yeah.
Demasking is going to be a thing, like mm-hmm. a new form of intimacy. Like, do you mask around him? Like,
right. During this phase out of needing to wear masks all the time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, but every winter I will be wearing a mask. I love it. And I will be wearing that every winter, pandemic or not.
Oh my God.
Can imagine. And I just need certain people to stay 6 feet away from me, regardless of the pandemic.
Anyway.
Well, no, so I was watching this Amazon comedy special where they basically roast 2020, and they're like, we've now developed a sixth sense to determine like how, like when people are 6 feet or less, like closest to, like, okay, I can't mm-hmm. even say it correctly. We've now developed a sixth sense to like know that's like you're too close. You're like four feet. I need six. Back it up.
Yeah.
And then the worst part, and this is something that I've cracked my brain over, is like, you're going to have to reintegrate into social life, whether it's a birthday or a party or a bar, whatever, with those people that you've kicked out of your social media and stuff like that because they posted conspiracy theories. They fell for a fake news story. The people think that everything is fake. You are going to be forced to be back in a room with them and maybe mm-hmm. work with them on a project or be in a bar at a birthday.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but I'm
yeah.
forced to be around you, and I'm not looking forward to that. Uh-oh,
yeah.
At all.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
But this is where I think it's going to be like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. Sorry. But mm-hmm. the peer pressure is not enough. Like, happy birthday. Here's the thing. You drop the card, and then you leave.
Oh, no, but yeah. I mean, if you're at someone else's birthday, and they've invited 10 people, and
I know,
one of the 10
longer,
is...
No longer. You don't have to go anymore. Right? Do you have to go post-COVID? I don't think so. I feel like,
no, but the thing is, if you love your friend, you're going, and you're going to sit next to that person.
No. If you love me, you will understand. If you don't love me, then you're a crazy person who I should not be friends with. I'll take you out to dinner. The two of us can kiki. That's it. I don't need to be there at your birthday party.
I think there's a debate there, but it's still going to be weird because you're going to be like, you posted that Bill Gates is inserting microchips into this virus, and now I'm at this birthday of this friend we both dearly love, and I'm going to sit here having to respect you.
I'm going to give you an example. My best friend planned a trip. They went to a cabin. They all got their COVID tests beforehand. Blah blah blah. But I didn't feel comfortable, so I didn't go. And we had a lovely dinner together, and, you know, we talked about it, and I was just like, no, I don't feel comfortable going on this trip.
But no, there's going to be situations where you don't know the full guest list, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I'm sure the conversation will pop up, and people will be like, oh, yeah, I hated masks. I sometimes didn't even wear it. Somebody will say that. Somebody's going to say that.
I know, and then you're like, and you're standing 2 inches away from them.
Somebody was going to say that, and I'm going to say, okay, now I know who you are.
Out, bite. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll chit-chat about these Drag Race UK queens.
Oh, yes. Excited.
Hey kids, it's the Honey Leave It Show. We just want to say thank you. We just passed the 3,000 download mark, which is a big deal for a new podcast. And so we're just really, really grateful. If you've never heard of The Honey Leave It Show, it's a comedy podcast about sex. So if you like laughing and you like sex, you should come and listen to the show. If you don't like to laugh and you don't like to have sex, please don't bother. You won't enjoy it at all. The Honey Leave It Show has new episodes every Friday on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple, of course. Looking forward to seeing y'all there. Bye.
So we're back. And, you know, we're still, I mean, we've been talking about them. We've been consuming their Instagrams, but you know, we don't have the vantage point that DJ has being in Europe of maybe potentially seeing some of the Drag Race UK girls. So we're going to play a little game called Who and Them, because we don't know who these people are, but we're sure that some of them are them. And for the other people, who?
Who?
Taste.
Oh, Taste is, ooh. Taste is a them.
Ooh.
Taste is a them. She is a kick-ass performer. I've seen her live in London. Mm-hmm. Oof, this lady is really, you know, a kick-ass girl who really shows up. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
She looks like she could eat somebody. Do you know what I mean? Like
she could definitely.
Mr. Joe Black, or I think it's just Joe Black.
Joe Black is a them.
Right?
Joe Black is one of those queens that has been on the scene for a long time. Someone that I've not seen live, but you know of them. They're definitely someone who's in the cabaret style of drag, which is big mm-hmm. in the UK. Mm. Yes, definitely a them. And I think definitely one from a bit more, you know, the old school type of British drag. Mm-hmm. Who can literally just stand on the stage for 20 minutes and talk, and you will be entertained the house mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. This will be ooh, a surprising one, I think, this season.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, this silhouette absolutely kills me. Funerals next week.
Well, here's the thing. With the queens that are a little bit more seasoned, you at least know that she has, like, 20 or so costumes like to select from when they bring her a challenge.
Mm, exactly.
You know, as opposed to like some of the, you know, younger queens that have been around for a year and they're like making everything from scratch. So like, I'm just excited to see what's in her repertoire. And
yeah. And I think this is one of the queens that will really excel at some of the acting challenges or whatever thrones her way mm-hmm, in that sense.
Mm-hmm. But, or maybe it'll be another Davina DiCapo moment where it's like acting is your thing. And then you have a meltdown.
A red wig and a silver dress. I don't think.
No, but Davina DiCapo is amazing. But I just thought that was really funny. Ahura.
That was a who to me.
Mm.
That was someone that I had not really been kind of, you know, involved with in mm-hmm. terms of seeing her on my drag, like, radar. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the looks and things that I've seen is just... Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a girl that has a high level of the kind of outfits she puts out. So I was like, you know what? Interesting.
We don't know what she can do, but we assume that she can do a lot because she's already serving us lots.
Exactly. There's like mm-hmm. a high expectation level. The bar is raised for this girl.
Well, and the other thing is, I think sometimes with look queens, they're like makeup look queens. So a lot of the photos are from like the chest up. So yeah. they don't put in the full work for the outfit.
Well, this girl apparently has her own fashion label. So I'm like, ooh, you know, girl, bring it.
Oh, okay. Tia Coffee.
That's a them because I've known of them in the scene a little bit.
She's new though, right?
She's new, but I've heard about her. So that means something that she's crossed overseas here.
Okay.
Especially in the London scene a little bit. I think she was also, you know, she's part of a big scene of Club Kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the name. The name is just fracking funny to me.
Fracking funny.
I'm a what can I say? I'm a Battlestar Galactica geek. What can I say? Fracking, you know, so
no, but you know what? it doesn't, to the eye, it doesn't read as well, but like when you hear it, you're like, oh, this is amazing. Like what's more,
and that's,
British,
I think that's the best part about it. The only thing that I would say about this girl is that I think the mug is very generic in terms of it's a gorgeous beat. It's flawlessly done, but there's nothing unique about it. So that's gonna make me interested to see what we're gonna get throughout the season, personality wise.
I mean, I would say the same for like the wig and the outfit, really. Just that it's not, you know what it is? It's more about the skin that's being shown than what's exactly on the body. Yeah. Or maybe just, I mean, you know, but here's the thing.
This is her outfit is me in the morning when I'm sleeping in and there's a package at my door from the postal service and you're like wrapped up and you're like wrapped up in the sheet around you. Like, hi, yes. Give it to me. Just give it. Like,
yeah. 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 Pop on your DJ earrings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ellie Diamond.
That's a who to me. I'm getting kind of.
She's from Dundee, right? This is the one from Dundee, Scotland.
Yeah.
Or Aberdeen. Yeah. No, Dundee. It's Dundee.
We're getting two Scottish queens, which is, you know, another one of those Drag Race responding to criticism from last season where there were no Scottish queens.
But now a Northern Irish queen.
Nobody sounds like Shrek. We want someone who sounds like Shrek.
But did they have Welsh queens last year?
They did. Yeah. I think. Welsh? God, who was? I just read this.
Was it Gothy Kendall? Was she Welsh?
I think. Wait, I'm gonna find out because one of them was from Wales that I've just seen. Because Tace is originally from Wales.
Yes.
Yeah. The Vivian was from Wales last season, originally.
Wait. Oh, the Vivian's Welsh. She's from Liverpool.
She lives there, but that Vivian has moved around a lot.
Vivian lives in like Spain.
Lives everywhere.
Davina de Campo lives in Spain.
No, the Vivian moved to Spain, quit drag for a while, got sober, and then started doing drag again in Spain, and then returned back to Liverpool just before Drag Race UK happened.
But she's actually Welsh.
Yes. But then again, I'm going to be living for Scottish queens because I know some Scottish queens.
Oh, okay.
And they love their drama. They love the infighting. They love the banning girls from certain bars that other girls host nights at. And
oh, my God.
The drama around who performs at Pride and what organization hosts Pride. Oh. And
well, I hear that Scottish people are quite feisty. So
Oh, there is so much infighting. It is literally, it's like every week. Because I follow a couple of them and I have them in my Facebook, and there's another week of them dragging each other through the mud about things that have been said, or you blocked me from that gig, or you've never invited me to your night out. Dragging. This is so, the fact that we have two of them on this season, we could get, you know, I'm expecting some drama to happen here.
Well, I mean, maybe, but this one from Dundee, like Dundee is apparently like the middle of nowhere. So I think the drama is going to come from the other one, right?
Well, we'll see.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling that she's going to have a lot of screen time because if you are mean on Drag Race, you go far.
Especially if you look adorable.
Yeah. If you're cute, if the meanness comes in a cute package, then.
Exactly.
You know.
And she's young. She's 22.
I know, she's so. Have you seen her out of drag? She looks like prepubescent. It's ridiculous.
It's like you weren't even fully out of diapers when we were worried about the Millennium Bug.
That's stressful to me.
Oh my God.
That's stressful to me.
Look, children are born every day.
And we gotta put a stop to it.
Sister.
I don't, but I want to.
Me too.
It's a who to me, so it's like a very curious who.
Oh,
this one is, yeah. This one's kind of a mystery to me, but I like it. I like what they're wearing and all the promo looks.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting hard vibes with the lips, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, it's a little kooky. I've seen some weird things here. Some really out.
Or Lipsha.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm interested. This could be someone that could really bomb and be gone within 2 weeks. Or this could be someone that we're going to really root for all the way to the end.
Yeah. Do you know what? But here's, I want to, if we compare this to Tia Coffey, like, this is a very interesting outfit that isn't super complicated, but it's like, you're just like, you can't take your eyes off of it.
And exactly.
And you know that they have like a very clear point of view. And I want more.
I want more of Sister Sister for sure.
Veronica Queen.
I have not heard of Veronica Queen until the show, but then, so it's a who to me. But then I knew that she was part of a show with Davina De Campo. They were both on All Together Now, which is kind of a talent show where she performed. So apparently she's a singing queen.
Yes, she is. She sang, for people that don't know, All Together Now has like 100 people in like Hollywood squares. Yeah. And then they have to watch someone sing, I guess. Oh. And then if over 50% like it, then you go on to the next round. Yeah. And Davina De Campo waited like at least halfway through the song before she started clapping. So I feel like there was like a little bit of a tension where she was like, is she really that good? Not really sure. And because the guy who was sitting next to Davina was like punching her in the arm, like, look, it's a drag queen and the drag queen singing. Isn't it amazing? And Davina's like, I'm a little worried about the makeup.
It's very bland, but, you know, on the other hand...
She's fishy, but I'm, you know, sometimes people confuse fishy with, like, not putting on makeup. And I feel you still got to know how to do that.
See, the thing is for me is that with these kinds of queens, and there's a couple of, there's one or two, I think, also in the U.S. season now, and Drag Race I see putting up, which is like you put a great female beat on your face, but the male face is so different, it requires a little more contouring here and there. Around like certain areas. And this is like, for this, this is one of my pet peeves. It's like when you don't do anything to your nose, it's like gorgeous eyes, gorgeous lips, man nose.
strong noses that, are not that, gendered. Okay.
It's that less is more that body queens think they can get away with.
Bimini Babes.
Oh my God. Bimini.
What's her full name? The
Bimini Bon Boulash. The name already is just already.
Bimini Bon Boulash.
because they identify as non-binary. This is definitely this is definitely a them. They are they're club kitty. They're weird. I've seen them pop up in a lot of my friends who are club kids in the UK, kind of in the background or in a group shot or anything. This is someone that I'm like, oh, I've seen their face before, and I think this is one of those people that in the show will definitely be someone that is ready to upheave the rules of drag and of the UK, the UK general audience idea of it has to be, you know, you singing a Dame Shirley Bassey song or an ABBA song on Sunday night in a bar. So, yeah, I'm really excited for them.
You know, she has a very, so good at serving a look. Because when I first saw her, I was like, oh my God, love this queen. And then she spoke on her Meet the Queens and I was like, I don't know if I like her. But then I went on the Instagram and I was like, oh my God, look at all of these different looks. And just, she has such a great aesthetic with this, like, with the voice that's like disarming, that I think it's going to balance out really nicely too. Do you know what I mean?
I think this will be an interesting one to watch. I think this is also one that kind of wants to fight.
Latitude?
I see it in the face a little bit.
We'll see it.
That's called resting bitch up. Face. Ginny Lemon.
Ginny Lemon to me is a who, but what is going on?
This is a
they. I know them because they were on the UK. They and I know it's a they because they're a mess.
What happened?
They completely kicked off against the judges and everything. Ooh. Plus, sis, really? Crocs in a promo picture?
I mean,
There's few rules in drag, but this is one of the no-nos.
Crocs are definitely one of them.
Just doubling down on those strong choices.
Also, is she wearing a wig?
I guess. And is it?
It could be natural hair that's just dyed.
No. Not the hair on her head. I'm like talking about the thing on her arm.
It's a.
Like, it looks like feathers or plastic.
I mean,
frayed plastic. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if those were wigs. Like,
I this, look like hair to this me. Looks like the first attempt to when Jim Henson tried to create Big Bird and Janelle was like, we're going to need a different fabric for this.
Well, Asia O'Hara, this is not, so. But mm-hmm. Asia O'Hara was Tweety Bird. Or was she Big Bird?
Tweety Bird. This is what happens after Sylvester regurgitates Tweety.
Yeah.
This is what's dropped on the floor. I thought.
Sherry Valentine.
Oh, yes. That's a them.
Ooh. I mean, this outfit's a them.
Everything Sherry red, perfect.
This lady. This lady is amazing. Like, it's high concept. It's very visually appealing. They have great looks. I have not seen them perform. But this is definitely one of those queens that I think rose really quickly in the UK. And you're like, oh, this queen has a visual idea and a visual concept every time she gets on the stage. You'll never just see her in a cute little dress doing a random drag queen karaoke song. This is this queen's has concepts for days.
Lawrence Cheney.
This is definitely a who?
That breath was the read of the century.
This is just like, I am like, and that's coming out of, I know a lot of Scottish queens, and she looks like a character that you would immediately know, but she's not been on my Scottish drag radar yet. So that's why it's not as much as a read. It's more of a, interesting, a new person that I've not seen. But this looks like a character. This looks like I'm ready to see this person, see what they bring. I like their drag. I like that this is, you know, it's a structural kind of thing. I like the fact that it's, I like the collar on it. I like the purple on it.
That's a good detail.
But on the other hand, I've seen some of their things in their promo looks that I think are all very, we've seen before. It's all well executed, but I've not seen something surprising there yet.
Well, Lawrence Cheney, we're ready for you, and we're so excited to see what you're going up to.
What a perfect Scottish name.
Scottish accent. I live.
That was literally the best that I could do at this point. Athena Malena.
That is a, this lady is a, I have seen her perform. Oh my God, she's part of Sink the Pink, which is this great queer collective in the UK who throw amazing parties where they have themes, and they've performed with people like the Spice Girls and other people. And they, I went on a gay cruise where we had RuPaul perform against, and they did that last night of performances, and it was her. And this woman, this Athena walks on a stage, and she's got that. The spotlight is like there's lights on the entire stage, but she sucks all the light in the room towards her, and you watch her stomp. She did like performances. This is, I think, for me, out of all the queens, the one that has such a high star power. She would do amazing on a US season as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she's also someone that is so powerful that I'm not sure if she can roll with the punches of the Drag Race roller coaster. You're going to have to do this now and that now.
Yeah.
But her performing live, oh my God, sickening.
Yeah. This is one that I'm really worried about her dealing with the aesthetics criticism, because I don't think that she relies on that. She's very performance first.
Oh, but she has, it's like this, it's like she has legs for days, and when she stomps on a run on like a stage,
I mean, she looks like she could crack some nuts with those thighs.
For sure.
Yeah. No. Oh, well, thank you for enlightening us on her, because we weren't sure from the video how to take it, but now
check her out. It is insane.
I stand corrected. Well, now we know who they are. Okay, so thank you for letting us know who these people are. Definitely enlightened about the thems and even more confused about the whos. But we only have 2 weeks and then we'll know.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Wow. You're in for some surprises in that season, especially I'm going to be interested in how to deal with the break, because they obviously went into lockdown, and we're going to get an extra special actually acknowledging the fact that there was a lockdown. And
oh,
that
really? They're not just going to let them like grow beards and dye their hair?
No, we're going to get a special on seeing how the girls coped at home and what happened in between.
Oh, wow.
And then rumor is that COVID actually got one of the girls to not return after the break because she contracted COVID.
Well, that'll be a twist.
Oh, exactly. Wow. So maybe she'll be back in the in another season.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow, the goss is real.
We're about to find out.
Spring Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, ICOM, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We call Drag Race and Canada Drag Race, and all names, pictures, and all uses are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.